The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, the Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. As I was reflecting on our gospel passage from Luke this week, I saw something in this very familiar story of the Good Samaritan that I hadn't seen before. I think part of that, my epiphany this week, came because of our new Bible study we started this Wednesday this week by Timothy Keller called "Gospel and Life, Grace Changes Everything." Keller reminded us in a short video of how God cares for all people, and that sometimes people of no religion or of a different religion than us can be kinder and wiser than us. Ouch. This statement made me pause. It gave me a different lens to look at our very familiar Good Samaritan story in our gospel today. Our passage in Luke chapter 10 happens right after the passage we heard last week, where Jesus sends out the 70 disciples out in pairs to spread the good news of the kingdom of God is near and to heal the sick. And if you remember, the disciples came back very pumped up because they were able to accomplish a whole lot in the name of Jesus. It is in this scene that a lawyer, probably not very happy about Jesus' disciples' success, comes to test Jesus. On the surface of the story, it looks like a Jewish teacher of the law of God, or as Scripture calls him, a lawyer, asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" A seemingly heart-filled question for the great teacher Jesus, right? But Jesus, knowing this question was not directed from the heart of the lawyer, but from the need to entrap Jesus with evidence to get him arrested, Jesus deals with this question with questions of his own, back to the lawyer. Why was the lawyer trying to test and discredit Jesus? Well, the lawyer was part of the Jewish religious leadership who felt that they had a direct link to God. Be careful when you think you have a direct link to God. It can get you in trouble sometimes. So much so that they felt that they had a right to create laws and to control and oppress the common people. In the name of God, of course. God, Jesus shows up on the scene and opposes much of what the Jewish religious leadership were teaching at the time. And the Jewish religious leadership control of the people was beginning to slip away. Jesus was becoming very popular with the common people that were listening to his teachings because Jesus gave the people hope for the future. The conversation continues with Jesus and the lawyer. And after the revelation by the lawyer of God's greatest commandment of loving God first and your neighbor as yourself, well, it didn't accomplish what he had intended. So, not accomplishing what he intended, the lawyer tried one more time to trap Jesus with a simple question. And who is my neighbor? Again, in Jesus' fashion, he does not answer the question directly, but tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, I don't need to retell this story because I know you all were listening, right? And I saw something very different. Like I said, I had a new lens in this story. Sometimes I think we just look at the story on the surface thinking Jesus is just discrediting the religious leadership of his time. But there's more to Jesus' message beyond that. The victim in Jesus' story is treated very differently, but depending on who the player is in the story or around the story. To the lawyer, the victim was a wounded man for a topic of discussion. To the robbers, the man was an object to exploit. To the priest, this was a hard one. He was a problem to be avoided. Also, to the Levite, another problem for me, he was the object of curiosity, yet still to be avoided. It was only the Samaritan that treated the victim as a person who deserved love and mercy. When Jesus was done with his story, he asked the lawyer who was being a neighbor to the hurting man. And the lawyer had to answer. He said, the one who showed him mercy. He wouldn't say the Samaritan. Just the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus told the lawyer, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. That is Jesus' command for all of us. After Keller's statement that people of no religion or different religions than Christians could be kinder and wiser than Christians, I saw the story of Jesus in a more modern context and from the point of view of who that Samaritan really represented. Not a story to make Christians feel guilty about helping every person in need, but as a command to love people as God loves people. In Jesus' story, it is the Samaritan who were hated by the Jews because they were, as I've told people before, they were mudbloods. They were half-breeds. They believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they had been dispersed. They had intermarried with people other than the Jewish religion. So the Jews excluded the Samaritans. They hated the Samaritans. They wouldn't even go through their land or talk to the Samaritans. Maybe Jesus is telling us not to judge people by who they are, what they look like, how they worship, or, God forbid, who they voted for in the last election. We are all called to go and do likewise, to show mercy and love. Many of the religious leaders in Jesus' time thought they knew the heart of God, yet excluded and opposed many people around them. But then Jesus came along, and he challenged their way of thinking beyond all the religious human laws that they had established. In seeking the heart of God by loving God first and people as yourself. What does go and do likewise look like today? Well, I can't answer that for everyone, because we are all called to do what we can do for others as our ability allows. What I do know is that we cannot take this passage out of context in Luke and not look at all the other teachings that Jesus has with for us. Jesus teaches us that we will always have the poor with us. Jesus cautioned Martha and the Martha and Mary story about putting too much emphasis on serving and being helpful over listening to Jesus' teaching, as her sister Mary was doing. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find your rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus doesn't want to burden us with all the problems of the world, all the people in need, but he does want us to do what we can do to alleviate suffering in this hurting world, to show mercy and love. We cannot take a blind eye to everything that is happening around us. We should focus our energy on learning from Jesus' teaching ourselves, and then doing what we can do to help those around us to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, showing God's mercy and love wherever we go. And yes, if we have the ability and it means to help someone that has been abused or hurt, then we should do that too. The Order of Daughters of the King, of which I'm a member here at Christ the King, we have a motto for our order. And it's a motto that I think should not just be for Daughters members, but for all Christians. And the motto says this: "For his sake, I am but one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do, and what I ought to do by the grace of God, I will do." And then the motto ends with a question, a very important question: "Lord, what will you have me do?" It's a question for all of us. Many of us think because we are older, we can't do what we used to do, so we stop doing. Some of our younger people may think, "Well, I'm too busy with school or work or family to do anything to help God's kingdom now, but I'll wait till I'm older, when you're tired and you don't want to do anything anymore." But are we really not able to do anything? Are we too busy to have compassion and love for God's people in this world? As I said before, we're not all called to do the same things. That is why we must pray, "Lord, what will you have me do?" When we listen to the answer, really listen to God in that answer, we are living into the command of Jesus' "go and do likewise," showing compassion and mercy wherever we can, no matter where we are, no matter who we meet. How sad is it if Christians have less compassion and mercy than non-believers in this world? Jesus challenges the Jewish lawyer and all of us with the realization that loving your neighbor has to extend outside those who agree with you. Loving your neighbor means loving people who don't look like you, that have different opinions than you, that have different lifestyles or traditions than you, that have different social status, that even have different political beliefs than you. We come here every week from all different walks of life. We all have our own beliefs. We all have our own views. But somehow we are able to come together each week and worship God, the creator of the universe, and know that our ability to love others in this world is directly connected to loving God first. Hear that. We got to love God first. We got to know God first. And then living into what Jesus has taught us, to love our neighbor as ourselves. We can't love our neighbors as ourselves if we're not loving God, if we don't understand what God is telling us to do. We are all called to be good Samaritans, to show mercy to others, but we need to start it right here in our church by going and doing likewise. And may our question always be, no matter how young or how old we are, Lord, what will you have me do? Amen.